In the scripture reading is given from James chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. James chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. But no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted of evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
Well, good evening, everyone. Always thankful for these opportunities that we have. It's the last week of West Virginia Christian Youth Camp, and it's singing interest this week, and I'm good friends with both the directors, so I kindly volunteer, and they get me roped into all kinds of stuff. So that's where I'll probably be in and out this week. I'll still be here Wednesday, but I'll be out at West Virginia Christian Youth Camp, and I know a lot of members of the church here have taken advantage of that. A lot of our youth have taken advantage of that over the years, and it's definitely a great thing. This evening, throughout the week, I started thinking about instant gratification, and a lot of thoughts started coming into my mind, and I just kind of wanted to share some of those this evening, particularly in relation to God's Word. Some things that I wondered about instant gratification, and some things that possibly were missing about the idea of instant gratification. But instant gratification is the need to experience fulfillment without any sort of delay or wait. Ultimately, you want it now. You don't want to wait. You don't want to put it off. And certainly, I think that as technology advances and things advance around us, it seems like the wait time becomes less and less and less. You know, how long did it take to travel around the world? How long did it take for your mail to get to you 100 years ago? And now, we just think of how quickly things are happening. How our wait time keeps shrinking down more and more and more, and it seems like our culture is even enthralled in this idea of instant gratification. And if you think about it, there's about everything can be delivered to you. Your food can be delivered to your house. Flowers can be delivered to your house. Furniture can be delivered to your house. Clean laundry can be delivered to your house. You know, you can get instant answers from Google. You can get your groceries delivered to your house. There's even instant mashed potatoes. Seems like that wait time keeps shrinking down more and more. In fact, big major companies fight over this idea of wait time. Walmart, eBay, and Amazon are all competing about who can get it to you fastest. Who can deliver it to you fastest through the mail. At Disney World, you can purchase special tickets so you can get special places in line, so you don't have to wait as long. You know, even it's creeped into our homes, this instant gratification. You know, we've got it so we can record shows that we want to see. We don't even have to wait around for the shows anymore. We can fast forward through commercials. There's no more waiting in our society. We look at even to the internet and so many facets of it. There's YouTube videos, and these YouTube videos are just like a movie or anything else, but what they did is they did a research study on individuals and how long they would wait for a YouTube video to load. And what they found was, after 2 seconds of the video not loading, people would start just saying, lose interest, and just say, I'm not going to wait. After 2 seconds, people started saying, I'm not going to wait. And they found that after every second, after the 2 second mark, that 6% of people started dropping off. And after about 40 seconds, about 1/3 of the audience said, we're not going to wait. After 40 seconds. You know, as Christians, are we caught up in this idea of instant gratification? Are we lost in the society of instant gratification that we're part of? Certainly, some of these things could be seen as good, but I was just wondering and thinking about this week, and I just want you to ponder some of these things that I did this week. What I started wondering about first was about patience. How is our instant gratification culture affecting our patience? Because I think when we look at the Bible, are we missing out because so many things around us are so instant? Are we missing out on the opportunity to develop our patience? Is patience dying as a quality of a Christian? Is patience dying as a quality in our society? You know, I thought a little bit about this lesson when I was going to a fast food restaurant, and I was waiting. It felt like I was just waiting a little bit too long. And then I thought to myself, you know, it's probably not good that they can make a hamburger in about 3 minutes. Probably not a good thing. Maybe I should wait a little bit longer. But I think patience and long suffering is an idea of the Bible, and it's an idea that a Christian should have. In fact, when we look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, if you'll turn over there, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is long suffering or patience. Are we a patient people? Are we a long suffering people? Are we willing to wait for things? Are we willing to be patient with those that are around us? In Galatians 5 verse 22, it says, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Patience is something that should be developed in our lives and not shunned, and not something that we should put aside, even though our culture seems to creep it in with these ideas that we want everything, we want it now. And what happens is it almost gets into this idea of greed, that we're not willing to wait for anything. Are we willing to wait? In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, it says, my brethren, count all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that we may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. This idea of patience, this idea of waiting, this idea of trusting God, relying on God, waiting on God. Will you wait on God in your life? Will you wait on God in all aspects of your life? Because it seems like our society has a problem with waiting. There's a young child that came into our Sarah and our lives through relationships, and he was one of these that, let's just say, he got introduced to technology early, and he really loved the iPhone. And any time he had a chance, he would get that iPhone, and his favorite destination was YouTube. And it was amazing how quickly this young child realized how he could skip the ad. See, on YouTube, there's an ad that will pop up, and if you wait 5 seconds, you can skip the ad. This young kid already knew how to skip the ad. The kid did not want to wait through the commercial, did not want to wait through the video. This young kid would skip through the ad. It seemed like this young child had already learned all the tricks of the trade on the technology and how to, you know, not wait as long. Are we willing to wait? Can we wait in our lives? Can we wait on the Lord? I like what it says in Psalm 24 and verse 14. In Psalm 24 and verse 14, it says, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Are you willing to wait? Are you willing to be patient? The psalmist said in Psalm 37 and verses 7 through 9, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. Are you willing to wait? Can you be patient in your life? That's something that I pondered this week when I was thinking about instant gratification. Is what's happening to patience? What's happening to the ability to wait? What's happening to that in our society when it seems like everything is so instantaneous and we can get things so quickly? Certainly we have to wait on God. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 it says, for our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait. We eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, patience is listed throughout the Bible as a Christian trait and a quality that Christians should have and possess. And it's mentioned over and over again so many times that I think we just read over it. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, it says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Patience is certainly something that should be part of the Christian life as we go throughout our lives. Aren't Christians to be a patient people? Shouldn't we be patient on God? Shouldn't we wait on God? Because what happens is when we're not patient, I fear that a lot of times what happens is a lot of bad qualities creep into our lives that aren't necessarily the best. And I think we see that sometimes. What happens when we're not patient? Well, we get irritated. And what happens when we get irritated? Well, sometimes we might say things that we might not normally say. Can we be a patient people? A people that God would want. I was also thinking about instant gratification, and I started thinking about it in terms of, in its relationship to sin. I started thinking about instant gratification, I started thinking about sin, and what I think that sometimes perhaps we miss is there's a strong connection between instant gratification and sin. Now, I'm not saying everything that we can get quickly and instantly is necessarily bad, but I started thinking about sin, and I started breaking it down and thinking about how many times it's really just instant gratification. How many times that it's just the quick fix that we want. We just want it. We want it now. We want the quick fix. We don't want to delay. We don't want to wait. And I think we can see this many times in our lives. But see, when we take instant gratification in terms of sin, I know not all instant gratification would necessarily be sin, but when we take instant gratification in terms of sin, there's a lot of consequences. And God told us that we should watch out when temptations come into our lives, that we should pick the right way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." You know, sin has consequences, and a lot of times people will just instantly jump into these sins, not thinking about the long term. You know, I think sometimes people think, because they go through this process, "Oh, I think I can win my money back. And I think I can win it back really, really quick." Isn't that kind of an instant gratification type idea? I can win it back, and I can win it back real quick. What does that lead to? Well, you just lost a whole bunch of money at the casino, you know, that your family needed to be provided for. You know, sometimes people will just say, one more drink, just that instant gratification, one more drink. And what does that lead to? A lifetime of treatment and fighting alcoholism. Think about an affair. Isn't that kind of instant gratification? Just one time I'll go away. It won't be for a long, it won't be forever. Just one time. Isn't that kind of like instant gratification? Well, I'll lie to my boss about something that I didn't really do, just for this little time, because I don't want to deal with the consequences. You know, these drugs look just as good as the last ones, and then what does it result in? An overdose. You know, instant gratification is not always sinful, but when I started thinking about it, I just thought, how many times is it often connected with sin? You know, sometimes instant gratification is not necessarily sinful, although a lot of times we probably could try to connect it in some way or another. You know, sometimes people probably think, you know, I can make it through this life. Well, why are you trying to make it through that life? Well, because you're in a hurry. You're not patient. I can make it through that life. What happens? You crash. Not that instant gratification is necessarily always sinful, you know, but it's time to make the best decision in the time, you know. I can reach that last spot, you know, from the ladder where it's at. Instead of going down the ladder, moving the ladder, making sure it's safe, we want to be fast. We don't want to wait around. We don't want to make the best decision. You know, I don't want to wait to text my friend, so I won't wait till the car stops. Instant gratification. I want the instant communication. I want the instant buzz. I want the instant solution. I want to instantly feel good. And I can't put anything off. Certainly, we're surrounded by so much sin in the world that we're in. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, it says, "For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but is of the world." And our reading, James chapter 1, verse 14, says, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." See, the Bible calls us to walk away from sin. And a lot of times that's walking away from, I feel like, instant gratification. Walking away from sin, walking away from those things that look so good in the moment, look so good in the instant, look so good right where I'm at in the situation where I find myself, and we don't stop to think about the future. But the Bible calls us to walk away from sin. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, "Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust that war against the soul." In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry." In Romans chapter 13, verses 13 through 14, it says, "Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in rivalry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." You know, the Bible calls us to walk away from sin. And when I look at sin, I break so many sins down, it's really instant gratification. I want pleasure. I want the solution. I want it right now. And I won't wait for God. I won't wait for any solutions. I won't wait for friends' help. I won't wait for assistance. I'm going to find out how to solve this. And so many times, people find a way to solve it through sin. Instant gratification. No, instant gratification can so many times have so many dire consequences. I think Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 and 17 kind of points that out. This idea of instant gratification, this idea of seeking the pleasure in the moment, can have you lose out on so much of the future. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 and 17, it's actually talking about an example in the Old Testament. And at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 and 17, it's talking about Esau. It says, "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterwards, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. What did Esau do? He went for the instant gratification. He went for the instant gratification of that morsel of food. And I'm not saying it wasn't hard in that situation. I'm sure that he was hungry. I'm sure that he did desire that physical food. But he went for the instant gratification saying, I will wait. You know why? Because I don't want to exchange the birthright. That's not a good trade. That's not something that I want to trade. But that's what people do throughout their lives. They say, I'll take the instant gratification of sin. I'll take the pleasures of sin each and every day of my life. And what I'll do is I'll exchange it for my heavenly home. They'll take the instant gratification each and every day. What is interesting is it talks about Esau. It says, after Esau made this choice, what did he try to do? It says, for you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance. He couldn't change his mind. It was too late. He had already made the trade. He'd already made the exchange. And it says, though he sought it diligently with tears, Esau wanted to go back. He knew that it wasn't a smart choice. He knew it wasn't an intelligent choice. When he looked back, he says, I can't believe that I exchanged in that moment so much or so little. And that's what people do in their lives. Is they go for the instant gratification. They go for the sin. They go for the moment. They go for the passing pleasures of sin. Now, I'm not saying that it's easy to say no to instant gratification in relation to sin, but certainly that's what the Bible is asking us to do, to run away from sin. The first thing I thought about when I thought about instant gratification was, is it really killing our patience? The second thing I thought about was instant gratification and its relationship to sin. And the third thing that I thought about was this idea that, have you ever thought about delayed gratification? What would delay gratification be in the Christian life? I'd say that has to be heaven. It's so easy to get lost in this life of all these things that are so vain. That all these things that are empty, all these things that don't matter, and yet we'll say, this thing is the important thing in my life, when really, in the grand scheme of life, that's not important at all. We look all through Ecclesiastes, and he goes through all kinds of things, and basically goes through all aspects of life, and he says, they're all empty. Why are we trying to fill our lives? Why are we going for the instant gratification? Why are we going for these things that cannot fulfill our lives? I like what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10 when he talks about money. He says, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vain. He goes through all the aspects of life. He says, this is vain, this is vain, this is vain. All these things are empty. All these things are worthless. But so many times people go throughout their lives and they'll say, that's the thing I want, that instant gratification. I want that small morsel of food instead of that birthright. In fact, we look at how many people have adopted the idea, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. We read that, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 32. That seems like the mentality that's been adopted by our society. But that's not the mentality that the Bible really asks us to go after. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 29, we have a situation where it's talking about Moses. And we can read down through that situation, but I just want to focus on verse 25 just for a second, but in context, it's 23 through 29 in Hebrews chapter 11. But it says, Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. See, I think Moses, in this situation, he could have easily took the instant gratification of staying a prince in Egypt. He could have easily accepted that life in Egypt. He could have easily accepted all those things in Egypt. But you know what he realized? These things are empty. And he decided to take the affliction of life because he was not going to partake in the passing pleasures of sin. And he was going to go for Christ, the greater riches and the treasures. They could not be found in Egypt. He knew that he was going for everlasting treasure. Delayed gratification. Can you wait? Can you put things off? In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14, it says, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. That's delayed gratification. We're not seeking the cities of this world. We're seeking the one to come. And what are we going to do? We're going to serve God throughout our lives. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Will you delay gratification? In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, it makes a comparison to farming, which I think is one of the perfect examples of delayed gratification. You plant, and you have to wait months and months to go to the harvest. But in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. But isn't that the challenge of this life? It's to delay gratification, to wait for the harvest, to wait for those times, and not get lost in all these things that life throws at us. Well, you can have a break here, you can have this here, you can have this. All those things that the world throws at us that are so vain and so empty. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we must live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. When it comes to instant gratification, these were the thoughts that I kind of had. Is it killing the patience in our lives? And then I started thinking, what's the connection between instant gratification and sin? And then I started thinking about, well, really, Christians are all about delayed gratification. That we live a life in seeking heaven. And it's not that we don't have joy in this life. It's not that we don't have good things in this life. But it's waiting for heaven and understanding that that's our goal. Not exchanging it like Esau did for just these small things of this world and making an exchange that we will regret for the rest of our lives. We take the moment and we elevate the moment, and what we do is we downplay the future. In this moment, I want pleasure. In this moment, I want this thing. In this moment, I will go through this. In this moment, I will do that. We'll get lost in the instant gratification of sin, and we'll lose out on the delayed gratification of a heavenly home. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. That's a day that I think about quite frequently. I sat down at an interview table one time. I was getting interviewed for a job, and there was a lot of people there. There was a lot of people there. I think there was like 8 people there around that table. And maybe some people have bigger interviews than that, I don't know. But there was 8 people around this one. I just felt like it was kind of a lot of people. But they said, are you intimidated by the situation? I thought to myself, no, not really. This is the situation that I'm intimidated by. Standing before the judgment seat of Christ. That's the one that I'm intimidated by. That's the one that I think about. That's the one that I want to be ready for. And I'm afraid that throughout this life, if I get lost in instant gratification, if I get lost in it again and again and again, particularly in relationship to sin, is what happens is I'll miss out. Just like Esau, he wished he could have went back, and we can see it in the text. He wished he could have repented. He was seeking it diligently with tears, but he couldn't go back. When we're before the judgment seat of Christ, we will not be able to go back and say, you know what? I should have put off that instant gratification. And you know what? I should have been more focused and realized that I have the future of delayed gratification at home with heaven, with God. Perhaps you're not prepared this evening to go and be with God. Perhaps you need to get yourself right. You need to pray to the church. You need to repent. Or perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. We'd love to help you in any way that we can. The Bible tells us that we have to hear, we have to believe, we have to repent, confess, and be baptized. If you have any questions for us or any questions about the process of becoming a Christian, we help you in any way that we can. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and as we sing.